Thank you, Heidi, for reading to us from that portion of God's precious word. I want to just consider this evening at the close of this service, and I promise you, I know that the children have to be up early for school in the morning. I have to be up even earlier than you do, so we're not going to detain the children too long tonight. And if you give me between, I promise I'll not, but definitely no more than 20 minutes, and maybe even between 15 and 20. But we want to consider this portion of Scripture this evening, just in the closing moments of this gospel service, and we thank the Lord for all that has gone before. But for a few moments, let's consider Matthew chapter 2. And of course, what this chapter tells us and records for us is the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, the wise men sought him, and they journeyed from their home. We're not told exactly what country they were from, but they dwelt in a country to the east of Israel and to the east of Jerusalem, and they made their journey through the desert to Jerusalem and to the land of Israel, where they inquired and they sought after the Lord. They journeyed from their homeland following a star, which led them to Jerusalem, and there they inquired of King Herod where they would find the Christ child. You see, we don't know exactly how it was revealed, but it was revealed to them that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who was promised through the line of Abraham and the line of David, that he would come into the world, and it was revealed to them that he had been born. And so they made their way, following the star, to Jerusalem, where they hoped to find him. They are examples of men and women who seek the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. The gospel is revealed. And the Bible tells us that when we come to a knowledge and understanding of the gospel, the exhortation is given that we are to seek the Lord that we might live, that we are to seek the Lord while he may be found. And so, as it was revealed to these wise men that the Messiah and the Savior of the world had been born, so it has been revealed to you through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, is the Redeemer of mankind and the only hope to ever have peace with God and our sins forgiven. But like those wise men, it's not enough to know that Jesus came into the world, that Jesus was born and that he lived. You must personally seek him by faith, that he might be your Savior and take away your sin and make you right with God. And so the wise men did seek him. And when they sought him, they found him. They worshipped him and they rejoiced in him. And you can have the same experience. You can seek the Lord. The Bible tells us when you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. You can rejoice in him, have eternal life through him, and worship him as your God and as your Savior. But as we read this passage of Scripture, there's a wee question. And that's what I want to really center our thoughts on tonight. You see, when the wise men came to Herod, they asked a question in verse 2. And I'm just going to ask three words of that question. And it's there in verse 2, they came to the king and they said, "Where is he? Where is he?" And tonight I want to answer that question from this chapter. And I want us to learn some very simple gospel truths as we answer that question. The wise men asked Herod, "Where is he?" And we'll answer it like this. First of all, he was in the house. And that speaks to us of his humility. Look at verse 11. If you have a Bible open before you, look at verse 11. If not, listen to the words as we read them. And when they were come, that's the wise man, when they were come into the house. We can't be sure, but I've a theory that Joseph and Mary only stayed in the stable for one night. I know that I wouldn't have stayed in the stable any more than, or any longer than I had to. And at some stage, they moved from the stable and they came into a house in Bethlehem. And it tells us that when the wise men, the shepherds came to the stable, but the wise men came to the house. Mary is in the house. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Mary's in the house, and the baby Jesus is with her. And that reminds us of the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible reminds us and teaches us that the one who was in Mary's arms, the little babe, the Christ child, he was, in fact, Almighty God. His life did not begin in Mary's womb, because the Bible tells us, and this was the miracle of the conception and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the real miracle, that the one who was eternal God, the one who was the Creator, the one who made all things, when Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, the eternal Son of God entered into the body that was prepared for him by the Holy Ghost in Mary's womb and was born of her. Now that's his humanity. That the eternal God, and young people, children, you understand it. That the little child in Mary's arms, he was different from you and me, because he had been and was God, the eternal Creator and God of heaven and earth. But he was born of Mary and he became a man. And the Bible retells how it happened in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then verse 14 of John's Gospel, chapter 1, says this: the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, the Word is a title for the Son of God, who is eternal, who created all things, who sustains all things, who upholds all things, and yet he became flesh when he was conceived in Mary's womb and was born of her. That's his humanity. But when he was born, we're reminded of his humility. Why do I say that? Because the one who was born of Mary, he wasn't born into a palace of gold. He wasn't born into a mansion with all its luxury. He wasn't born into some of the grand places and the rich places of this world. No, he was born in the stable. He was laid in the manger. When Joseph and Mary took him to a house, it was just a humble home. And he was brought up in the carpenter's home in Nazareth. And we believe he learned the carpenter's trade. And he lived among men a very humble, poor life. Do you know why he did it, boys and girls? You know, if he'd have come to the palaces, it would have still been below him. Because the Bible tells us that before he was born of Mary, he was worshipped by the angels. He sat upon the throne in heaven, the place where the streets are paved with gold. He dwelt in that land and in that place. And if he had have come to the palaces of this world, it still would have been below him. But he came to the stable, to the manger, to the house. Do you know why he did it? Paul tells us about his humility in several places in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it says, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor." And to the boys and girls, to the parents and the friends here tonight, I challenge you, show me in the life of Jesus when he was ever rich in this world. He said, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." When he was conducting his itinerant ministry, going from place to place, preaching the gospel, there was a bag of money that bought the food from day to day, and he wasn't even assured of where he would lay his head at night. He was poor. He was not rich in this life, but he was rich before he came into the world. The riches of heaven. But yet he left them aside, and he came into this world to live a life of poverty. Why? That we might be rich. Because it was through his identifying with us in our poverty because of sin, dying upon the cross, that he would bring to us the riches of eternal life, salvation. He would open the kingdom of heaven to men and women and boys and girls who had been barred from it by their sin. He became poor so that we could become rich. Paul again spoke of his humility in Philippians 2 verses 5 to 8. He said, speaking of Christ, he said, "He who was in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation and humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross." He humbled himself and came from heaven that he might die on the cross for the redemption of sinners. The humility of Christ, where is he? He is in the house. He humbled himself. And he humbled himself for our salvation. Where is he? He was in the house. That speaks of his humility. Secondly, where is he? He was in Bethlehem. And that speaks of his ministry. You see, in verses 4 and 5, the wise men came to seek him, and they sought him through Herod. Now, Herod knew nothing about the promised Savior. He was a Gentile king. And the wise men came and sought Herod where they might find the one who was the king of the Jews. And Herod didn't know. He hadn't a clue. He didn't know anything about the coming of the Son of God into this world. He didn't know where he would be born. He didn't know when he would be born. And the wise men were seeking for Jesus in the wrong place. And you know, that's like some people in this world. They seek for Jesus Christ, or they seek for God's salvation in the wrong place. They look for it in the things of the church, in baptism or taking communion, in trying to live a good, moral, upright life, being a good neighbor or a good citizen. And they think that this will gain them God's salvation, but they're looking for it in the wrong place. Herod, he called the religious men of the day, the chief priests, and he asked them, he said, "Where will this Messiah or Christ be born?" And they got the Bible out, the Old Testament, the Word of God, and they began to go through it. And they discovered, they knew that in the book of Micah, the chapter 5 and the verse 2, that it says that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And they said, "Go to Bethlehem and look there." Do you know what Bethlehem means, boys and girls? I think you do. We've probably told you before in assembly. But Bethlehem means the house of bread. The house of bread. And what do we need bread for? We eat, take our daily bread. And in Bible times, just like today, bread was the staple diet. It was the daily food. Just as you have your bread in the morning. Well, I assume that you have bread in the morning. Your toast in the morning. So, in Bible times, bread, they had it every day. And it was to take away their hunger. It was to satisfy them from their hunger, and it was to keep them alive, because if we don't eat our daily food, we'll hunger and then we'll perish, we'll starve. And so they partook of the bread to live, and so they wouldn't perish, and they took it to satisfy their hunger. Jesus Christ. Do you remember in the Gospels of John, he made 7 great statements. They all begin with that little phrase, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. One of them is, I am the bread of life. You see, Jesus came into the world to save us from perishing and to satisfy our souls. And the one who is the bread of life was born in the house of bread so that we would understand and learn something about his ministry. Young people, adults here tonight, you are perishing in sin. The prodigal son said in his sinful state, I perish for hunger. And that's like us in our sin. We're perishing in sin. But Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And if we partake of him, just as you eat the bread, if we partake of him, he'll not only save your soul, but he'll satisfy your soul. And how do we partake of him? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger. And you partake of Jesus Christ by believing in him and trusting in him as your Savior. And he'll save your soul from sin's curse and guilt and penalty. And he will satisfy you and give you joy and life and a purpose in life, and a great eternity. There's one final way that I'll answer this question, and I need to be brief. I promised you I would be brief. Where is he? He was in the house. That speaks of his humility. He was in Bethlehem. That speaks of his ministry. He was in Israel, and that speaks of his sovereignty, his kingship. Because it tells us in verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Bethlehem and Judea were in Israel. And Israel reminds us of the fact that Jesus Christ is king. He was born the king. And at his birth, at his crucifixion, and at the start of his ministry, we were reminded and are reminded that he was the king. At his birth, the angel told Mary that he would receive the throne of his father David, and he would sit upon that throne. When he began to preach the gospel, Nathanael said, "Thou art the King of Israel." When he was crucified, Pontius Pilate had written over him at the cross, the King of the Jews. The only crown he ever wore in his earthly life was the crown of thorns. They crucified him as the king. Boys and girls, the Bible tells us there's coming a day when he will take the throne upon this earth. And you have to go to the very end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and you read that when he returns from heaven the second time, that then he will sit upon the throne of his glory. When he left this earth and he ascended into heaven, he sat down at his Father's right hand side. And he will leave that place one day and return to this earth when he will sit upon the throne of his glory. And he will judge all men. And he will reign over all the earth. And he will separate those that are Christians from those that are non-Christians. And those that are believing in Christ shall enter into the eternal kingdom. Those that are not shall be sent away to everlasting punishment. The question tonight is this: is He your King? Have you made Him the King of your life by trusting in Him as your Savior? Where is He? I want to ask you in closing, is He on the throne of your heart, reigning as your Savior and Lord? Because if He's not, your soul is in great danger, danger of perishing. And you need to trust in Him, believe in Him, and partake of Him as the bread of life who can save and satisfy your soul.